Welcome to the Apprenticeship Diaries, where raw meets refined.
Let's be real, we're still working on refining.
What it took, what it takes, and the stories that are made.
Join us as we learn from professionals about how their stories began.
Asking me too, like, have you had anybody give up on a tattoo? And I said, yes, actually, one of my ex-boyfriend's grandparent. I hope she won't mind. I'm not gonna name her name, but she was like, oh yeah, when I turned 60, I cut all of my hair off, dyed it, and I got a tattoo. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And she had it like on the back of her shoulder. Mm-hmm. And she wanted this rose, and I do believe it was a Cherry Creek rose on her ankle. Oh. It was this itty bitty rose. But like, fuck it. Like, who's gonna argue with her? Like, you're getting your Cherry Creek rose. We did a line, Ellie. I swear to fucking God, she was like, stop. And I was like, what? And she was like, nope. I was like, girl, you have a line. She goes, yep, and that's my new tattoo. That hurts too much.
Oh, that's so cute. And the worst part is that it's always like the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes. No matter if it's like half an hour to 12 hours.
I was like, you really don't? And she was like, nope. She's I don't think so. She's like, that hurts more than I can take. And I was like, oh shit, girl, I'm not gonna argue with you. And she was like, can I pay you anything? I was like, no, not for a line. I was like, no, I think this one's
fine. Wrong kind of line.
I was like, it's fine. But yeah, I have had that. You brought up Cherokee roses, and I was like, yeah,
but it was everywhere, and it was so good. But I'm so grateful that I think with the tattoo shows and things like that, I think that introduced like more of the full body work, mm-hmm. and like getting a big, beautiful piece that fits your body. It's kind of someone compared.
What was conventions like then? Or did they do a lot of them?
It was really rare. Like, I remember the Baltimore Tattoo Convention was, like, still a new thing. And it was a lot about, like, the early stages of Suicide Girls.
Oh, okay.
So it was more, like, when we were talking about the piercing element, it was still rooted in the BDSM community.
Yes.
So it was still really raw and, like, had those, like, sexual undertones. So it's kind of nice that where it is now, where it's more or less in the fine art spectrum, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But tattoos back then were still a little, a little raw.
Yeah, they were. I mean, definitely. I was saying that, like, it's definitely elevated itself quite a bit in some places. Like, it depends on your jurisdiction. In Baltimore County, I know, like, this is very local. But we're still classified under, like, you can't open up a tattoo studio. All the current ones have been grandfathered in, but you can't open up a tattoo studio there. It's classified as like a sex or porno industry.
It's
still there.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of antiquated like law sets or just communities that are like, no, we have no, or like we don't approve or like whatever. I mean, I don't want to go anywhere where they don't want me. So
I think it's good that people are realizing that tattooing is this really magnificent art form.
Mm-hmm. And it could be a lot of things.
Yeah. Like I'm really proud of people that like might have grown up with like demonizing tattooing. Or tattoos in general, or their like ideals of someone that would have tattoos.
Yeah.
I used to, like, this is way back in the day, going to Wawa, I would have people curse me out or scream at me or like demonize me or call me a whore.
Really?
Yeah, at Wawa. And you're just getting your coffee.
You're like, what the fuck?
You're just hanging out and you're watching this man, like,
we're like, is this happening?
Please tell me about myself. I didn't know this. I'm so sorry you feel this way.
I'm so sorry.
But like those that are like, they kind of eventually figure out what they're doing, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you walk away.
Because it's the religious mentality. Like a lot of Christians and other religions associate being tattooed and shit with paganism.
Yeah, you know,
and Muslims, you know, Christians, Jewish, like they all consider it paganism.
I consider
it. So that's where it comes from, even though it's just art.
Yeah.
But back in the day, the type of people that was at their time, the enemy, was painted basically in their minds.
I consider it very, pardon me if this is gonna make anybody upset. I consider it very American. Because to me, I'll break it down. Here's the deal. America is a melting pot, right? So we're kind of the bastardization of everything. Like, we just kind of take everything and mash it together and make it ours, right? Like, we do that.
Yeah.
Because we are a lot of things. Like, most people here are. Most people here are a lot of things. Like, we're just a jarble. And we all kind of got to get used to each other. Like, you know, there's a lot of foreign elements. There's a lot of, there's just a lot. Like, there's a lot of different variables here. So the way I see it is, it's like, we have all of these people, if you haven't traveled other places, like if you go to countries that are really old, like really, really old, they are founded in a lot of like ritual and states of mind and things you do and don't do. And it's like commonly understood.
Yeah.
Like everybody kind of knows the deal. And that's what smaller places really are about. And like, you know, when everybody in that place is of that place, you know, like that's kind of weird. Like there are foreign parts there. There are tourism, there are things like there are natives. And like those people I feel like are really grounded in ritual. I've seen a lot of that. Like,
oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But with America, I think we adopt a lot of these rituals and kind of make them ours, but they're kind of hollow, some of them, because like I feel like they don't scour the vastness of who we are.
And sometimes, have you ever heard it? So it's this percentage mentality about a group. And it's about, like, this psychology of an industry, tattooing, music, art, anything like that.
Uh-huh.
And it's a percentile where you have about 10 people that are super passionate about it.
Uh-huh.
Like the artists that would die for it. Like they would sacrifice everything because they love it so much.
Right.
Like it has absolutely, they devote their entire lives to it.
Right.
And then outside of that, you have about 30% of people that support that 10% that are like, this is beautiful what you're doing. Like, I support that. Would I devote myself?
No.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, but they understand the foundation of it, you know, and they really do understand that emotional moment. And you see that with like a lot of underground music scenes or artists that devote their entire careers and their lives to what they do and their clients, the people. And then outside of that, which is about 60%, are people that just want to identify with something. They don't associate with that 10% and they're a little bit removed from it.
Yeah.
But they just want to be a part of something. And that kind of creates this dissonance, like with anything that you're into. Like you have that sometimes with tattooing or music where, you know, you have this foundation and then it explains why, like, sometimes I would work at shops and I couldn't quite figure out why some artists weren't passionate about it or, like, not, like, every time I've connected with artists it's because they have that foundation, that love.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're like, oh my God.
Yes. That pain love.
Yes.
Really raw. Like,
that grit.
Like, no matter what happened in society, they fucking find a way to make it work.
Yeah. I am going to be fucking happy.
I would find myself, like, at Pride and Glory, the reason why I left is that Matthias brought on another artist I didn't get along with. You know, he was a bit racist. You know, and I'd be blunt about
can
that.
Can happen.
Yeah, and I just couldn't understand that. And he was very mean and angry, and he just didn't have a love for the artwork.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very much about being a tattoo artist. And, like, that image of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I just couldn't vibe with that. And sometimes that happens, like, in shops where you just don't necessarily. And, like, that's their journey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But sometimes it's a point of contention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That you're like,
dude, I'm okay if we don't get along. Yeah. You know, the polite ignore.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. Like, you know, we all have to coexist here. So
absolutely.
There's only so much any one person can take.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. But as soon as I learn about that percentage, I'm like, oh, that's okay.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. I mean,
yeah. And then with Matthias, it became a point where, and I told Matthias, I was like, I think I would be more comfortable somewhere else. I don't want to give you an ultimatum. Like, this other artist deserves this amazing opportunity. You know what I mean? And maybe over time, maybe he has a lot of issues he's working on, or a lot of resentment or animosity, you know? I don't want to be something that takes this opportunity away from him. So I think it's time for me to go. You know? It was hard. It was definitely not. Like,
that is a hard move. That's some real talk.
Yeah, it was awful. And dude, it was like breaking up.
You're like, God, I get it. Like, I get where you're at, man. I don't want to be this person between you and this guy.
I know. Yeah. I know. And he was so awesome about it. And he was super open. He was like, I totally understand where you're coming from with everything.
Yeah.
You know, and he was like, I feel that too. Like, I'm hopeful once he adjusts. You know, he just got out of jail. You know, and
you're like, I'm managing a lot.
and I totally understand. He was trying to fight. He had a pit bull mentality of trying to fight for his place.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, I can appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not how I would do things, but I can understand that that's where he's coming from and that's what he grew up with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was actually really... You know, animal school to kind of move on and go to another shot.
Hell yeah, dude.
But it's hard.
You know what I mean? I tried another shop and that was when, you know, I told you about her.
You know, and I thought it was a really good opportunity at first. Right. And it only lasted for about 3 months or so. And again, when I talked about her jokingly firing people and like, don't do that.
Yeah, I can't.
No. Yeah, that's not okay. Like, maybe working with other people isn't your forte, you know, or a private studio. I'm not sure what it is that you're looking for. Maybe you're figuring that out.
Right.
But, like...
Yep, don't fuck my job security.
Yeah, never do that. Yep. That's never
my old boss, like I said, when I built trust, is just do the same shit. And he'd be like, I could fire y'all motherfuckers because I like the color of the t-shirt y'all are wearing. Guess what? That's Maryland law. And, like, you would go on these rants. I mean, dude.
And it's one of those things that's like, yeah, dude, I could leave here too. I could leave here too.
And then, like, my note for like starting artists, like, I've seen a lot of them have that fear of leaving a place because of that, like not knowing what would happen. My advice to them would be like, know that you have this special gift and that you can go anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Never let someone feel like you're less than anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, freaks me out when owners try to tear people down, much less artists, you know, to keep them to stay.
Yeah.
Like, that's awful.
It is awful. I do think that's awful.
Yeah.
And it is a very loving thing to, I do just think that, like I said, when I first saw it, like when we were talking about me being let go, I was like, I really just think it was like a pimple that needed to be popped.
Yeah,
like it had been culminating for a while. And you know what? I'm learning a lot about how I register in people. I might be hitting a wall with like, where I need to break in a lot of things, which is fine.
Which is good,
though. I'm learning, you know, like, it's fine. I don't know how I've settled in the hearts of everyone. I definitely can't claim to be perfect, but that's the thing. If I'm hurting somebody, then I definitely want you to remove me from the picture. Like, that's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't want to continue to hurt someone.
Aww.
So if I've extended my value and it's good and everybody is not getting the same kind of joy from me, then I can accept that too, because that's more loving to me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's a more of a loving thing to do in the long run, because you're not making people suffer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So why do that? And I think that's a good thing to give new artists is this idea that, like, you are like a creative force as a, yeah. as an artist. Like, we are able to indulge a part of ourselves that is kind of borderline insane.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. like it is.
Artists are quirky individuals.
So it's like this, it's just like this, you know, you got to really know the tune of your own, you know, drum or whatever, like your own rhythm of things, and definitely follow it. Like have a professionalism about you and have an integrity about you.
Absolutely. And yeah. always respect other people. I think that's a big factor. Like mm-hmm. even if I think that's a goal, like that a lot of people might not realize, mm-hmm. like it's okay to not, a lot of that comes from having siblings too, where you mm-hmm. can bicker back and forth. Mm-hmm. Like my best artist friends that I've known for a long time that I love.
Right.
At some point we had a point of contention.
Right.
And I think part of tattooing, like one of the foundations is being really open
yeah.
and communicating your feelings and respecting the other person's opinion
mm-hmm.
when you have like any sort of moments or hardship.
Yeah.
And like, so sometimes you're like, okay, you know, we talked about, we worked it out. Like, I think it might be time to go somewhere else, and that's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's okay too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. I mean, like, let's at least try to do this in the most lovely way possible. And that's like kind of the key with working with people too. Like, there's times where you have to say to people, I'm not a good fit. You know, yeah. for what you want.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's so okay.
Is there some things for you that you, you know, don't want to tattoo anymore? Or like that you're like, that's not me.
Yeah, that's a good question. I do everything. Like, I remember talking to this one artist, like mm-hmm. he was drawing a dragonfly. And he was really upset about the dragonfly. He just didn't want to do it. And he was an old school guy, you know what I mean? But he was still new to it.
So yeah.
he was like, and I told him, I was like, dude, like that dragonfly can be fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It can be beautiful. Like you can draw this dragonfly probably a million different ways. Like, it can literally be anything that you need it to be. Like,
right.
just give it that love and nurture it and baby it. And then, you know, gift it to this human.
Yeah.
Do what you feel is right. Like, it, subject matter is almost irrelevant.
Right.
Because it's really about the emotion. Like,
we wanted to get his ass back in the game. You're like, come on, man. Fucking buck up. You're not out in the heat sweating. You got to draw a fucking dragonfly. Come on.
I know. It freaks me out. All the time with like new artists that get into
That's my approach. You're like, come on, nurture it, man. Like,
this can be anything.
Love
it. Like,
yeah. That's inspiring.
And like, I get so mad with new artists that are like, I don't want to fucking do this, because I'm like, who are you?
I know. Come on, man. Like, we get to draw on people for a living.
Right.
Do you know how fucking cool that is?
Right.
That's really cool.
And like, it's so funny. It's like something as simple as like a flower can be amazing. Like, you just have to talk to that person. Like, it might start out as like a simple cherry growth.
Mm-hmm.
But you get to talk to them, and you find out that it's for a memorial for their daughter.
Uh-huh.
That would pass away. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
you're like, what did she love?
Yeah.
Like, what reminds you of her?
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think that's actually where the dragonfly came from. And she broke down, and she told me that dragonflies were the reincarnation. And she felt like every time she saw the dragonfly, it was her daughter letting her know that she was okay.
Oh, I had that moment actually with my therapist.
Really?
Like, I think around the time that she died, I saw a dragonfly. And I don't know why, but I was thinking of her, and then I found out.
Right.
So it's that for me too.
Yeah.
And I read that they're actually symbols of grace, because they have that kind of hover ability when they like, you know, they can move from side to side. They're like a hovercraft.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It represents like knowledge over time and this grace. Oh, and they're actually very, very shortly in that time span, like, I think, of that state. Like, that's one of the smallest fractions of their lifespan as a dragonfly. I think they're usually a whole other form first for much longer.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's like the litter moth.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, okay. Dude, they're so amazing.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's very crazy bugs. There, I was about to tell you about the clients that told me about the specific fly that they saw, and it was like on a gas station, and they said they looked it up, and this thing was only going to live for like 24 hours, and it literally didn't live long enough to develop taste buds. That's how much it was just the food source for fish, basically. And this thing was like, they said it was like on a gas pump in Glen Burnie. They're like, where the hell did this little guy come from? Like, dude, you took a journey with your 24 hours. You're like, fuck this. I'm not being fish food. I might die on this gas pump, but I'm doing something different with my life, man.
Like, I'm going to keep on keeping on.
Talk about taken out and being like, I'm doing something different, damn it. That guy, he might get some taste buds. You never know.
Right? I feel like that was like
evolution.
The story.
I know.
Yeah, that's the story of the original tattoo artist. Like, fuck this. I don't know what's going on.
I'm going out. I'm just going out, man. Like, I'm going to take a leap. I will be more. They were like, why did he come from? I was like, what's really crazy is that, like, that was his 24 hours, man, that he met you. They're like, oh my God, we might want to get a tattoo of this guy one day. I'm like, you might. That'd be a nice, like, because they were friends and saw this. I was like, I'd be a dope friend tattoo.
Yeah.
You guys, like, celebrating the moment, you know, like, getting this bug that is only meant to be for 24 hours, and you met him on a gas pump. So far away from anything that has fish. Like, what?
Have you ever heard about the list of profound sadnesses?
No.
Yeah, dude, it was life changing. And there is a story about, like, one concept was that, like, ultimately, we all start out as strangers, right?
Oh.
And, like, there's a moment in grief where someone passes away that you love so deeply.
Uh-huh.
And it's the fact that, like, how honored are we to know this human, like, in their blip of existence, like, to completely know them, and that we will never fully, completely know who they were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, people are so absolutely incredible.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Like, well, that was the thing, was that, like, what I analyzed about tattooing, being a hairstylist, being like all the different professions that I've had, honestly, is that this connection with humanity and this observation was really, really cool. And it is like an analysis, like I said, this insane analysis of like this individual painting or whatever, but washing it and like picking it apart, and each person, each experience was all so laced in like story. I got to meet people, and like that was something that I really cling to in being a hairstylist. My dad, I mean, I'm running into people these days that I haven't seen in so long, and my dad has cut their hair when they were a kid. Then now they're an adult. Now he's cutting his kids' hair. Now his kids are adults. My dad's cutting people's hair and like seeing their grandbabies.
Oh, I love that.
I mean, right? Like,
yeah,
I mean, he's not like, he's never going to know all these people like that, but to say that he is an intrinsic part of their experience of this world. Like, you can't argue that. Like, that has been a key point of these people's lives for a very long time. He's an asset of a community. So that's pretty cool.
Right.
And I always grew up with that, and I always thought it was so cool. And I always noted with myself, it was easier for me to learn things when there was a story. Like,
yeah,
and I could listen to somebody else, and I could cherry pick what I wanted and be like, okay, I'll keep that. This will shelf a little bit.
Yeah. You can see it. It forms in your mind.
Yeah.
As I tell you the story. Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, cool. That's who you are. Like a little bit more. Like a little bit more of who you are. And then like I would learn about who I was in comparison. Because that's how we all work, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it's the thief of joy, but it's also like how you relate and how you connect and how you decide who you are and what you're going to be.
Absolutely. You and know? Like people teach each other so much. Like it's so profound. Like my clients have taught me so much about what it means. Like you guys coming up and teaching me like and sharing food.
Oh, fuck. Like, we love it.
Special moments. You know what I mean?
This is a day. This is an awesome day.
It's so good. And he needed that so much. And I'm so grateful.
I was like, dude, this is going to be rad. I was like, I don't even know why, but I know it's going to be rad.
Oh, it's going to be good.
I was like, I have to connect with Ellie. I have to, like, you know, this is a good person to, like, atone with. Because I did know that you've transitioned very much. And, like, going to Amsterdam.
In Norway?
That's super awesome. In Norway?
Yeah,
dude. Oh, okay, so tell me about your foreign experiences, like some things to know.
Yeah.
Because this is good information.
Super humbling. Mm-hmm. Like, really incredibly humbling. I had so many awkward toilet moments.
I know what that's like.
Oh my God, it's awful. I was so in the hotel, and I knew it was different, right? I'm tied up all my luggage. Like, tiny little, awkward, horrible Amsterdamian stairs. I almost fell. I almost died.
Oh my God.
And I'm so American when I first came in. And I've been twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then two times to Amsterdam and Norway and traveling in between. And it was amazing.
Wow.
But my first trip, I was very American. Right? You know what I mean? So I'm like, I do not know. Like, I try to study.
Right.
Dutch. And so toilet moment. So funny. So going to this hotel and they would have shared bathrooms, right? So you have your room and then they have like a community bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And I go in and I go to this toilet that I just absolutely needed to pee.
Right.
It was the greatest urgency.
Right. You know, like I have to.
Yeah. And I go in and there's no door. Yeah, it's open.
Okay.
To the hallway, like diamond off to the side, and it's like in this little closet room because that's how they installed the bathroom. So I'm looking around and I'm like, oh, I guess this is just how
I
do it.
I hope this is okay.
Yeah, I think this, I'm just gonna do it. Something super American, like so ridiculous. And I just pee publicly, like out in this open area. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I'm gonna smile and just urinate. Okay, this is what we're doing. I do it a few times. And I get to the shop the next day. And this is the first time I'm meeting them, and they're so kind. Like, I love them so much. They are the best.
Where did you work?
Yeah, White Whale. In Amsterdam, and the owner.
That's cool.
Lori.
Aww.
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing.
Aww.
So good. And I go in the first day, and I ask her, I was like, is this a thing? Like, and she was like, no, you're at a weird hotel. Don't stay there. Where are you staying? She was like, no. And she was like, it's very private with her toilet moments. Why are you peeing in front of people? And I get back. And I realize that the door that's to the shower also works to the fucking toilet.
Holy shit.
Day of being out in public smiling.
Because you're like, I don't fucking know.
I don't know.
And help me.
I'm like, I'm American. I don't know what I'm doing. And the second time, this is Barbie, Barbara. I had to ask me about those. I used the bathroom in Amsterdam at White Whale. And we would, it was the same set up. Like, the toilet's out in the hallway, and it's beautiful, beautiful historic building, like, wow. In the historic district. Absolutely magnificent. And there's apartments up here, and it's just how they work in plumbing to the historic towns. And Italy's the same, similar.
Yeah, like, yeah. I would imagine, like, there's a lot of refurbished buildings there that they probably had to, like, you know, D.C. is the same way. They have to modernize a lot of those buildings because they're so old and stuff. And you have to go in. You got to be really careful, too, because, like, being an electrician and setting all stuff up.
Dude, I've seen it. Like,
It's really...
Especially old electronics.
It's gnarly.
I couldn't imagine.
I tattooed a guy that did that for a living, who worked for the Pentagon as one of their, like, maintenance people who, like, help refurbish the buildings and keep the maintenance and, like, up to date. And, like, they have to sometimes switch out systems and, like, put in an elevator or shit like that. You know, like, things like that. Certain things. If it can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah. You're right. Like, it's weird because you're in these historic buildings that have these modern features that you're like, this is quirky.
Yeah. Dude, and there's so much history. Like, it's crazy to think that America's still a child.
Yeah.
Like, almost a zygote in comparison to the rest of the world.
Oh, very, very infantile.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, very. Exactly. Like, I mean, you do. And it's like I said, was saying, like, before, like, these other countries have these rituals. Yeah. Americans, I feel like we're looking for ritual, which is why I feel like tattooing here can be so diverse, because each individual person, like, you can atone and have your kind of ritual with that person if you, like, find the right artist or find the right experience or, like, things like that. So I feel like tattooing to me is very American in that, like, it's kind of like a self-branding kind of thing. Like, you are putting out in the world what you are, and you're ritualizing what you want the world to see of you.
Yeah.
And so it is kind of this very, like you said, like, when you're processing things, I think a first stage of things is to identify who you are in the grand scheme of things. What are the things that are important to you? Mm. You know, this is a thing of meaning, you know, it's based in so many different things, you know? And I do think that, like, from, like, I would imagine if you've been doing it 16 years, and I've only been doing 11.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's cool.
Yeah,
it's,
you have to power through.
I know. I mean, I came from having, like you, I had no tattoo experience, like, as far as, like, knowledge of the tattoo industry. I was an art kid. Like, I was, you know, I went to college, too. I dropped out, but, like, I had higher learning that I rejected. That I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Like, there's got to be other ways. Which, you know, was a disappointment to some people. But, yeah, like, I feel like... I'm with you. There's some grit to it. And when you meet people that have a certain amount of grit, and there's a certain amount of respect too. Like, there's people who, I think, like, hone a style so beautifully that it's like, dude, if you want that style, you go to this person.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is who they are. Like, this is who they are. This is what they love to be. They wouldn't be anywhere else, anyway else. Like, this is their obsession.
Dude, and I love... Yeah. Recommending,
like, people, like,
or Kinsey, or Crystal, like, growing up with that mindset, I have a client that, like, a lot of that is cross referral, you know what I mean? And I think that's really beautiful. Some shops might not have that idea, and I get it. Some owners might see it more as a business, or early artists that are still trying to figure out what their style is, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think really admiring someone else's work and, like, the passion that they have behind it is incredible. And I would 1,000 times rather see someone that absolutely loves and can create exactly what that person sees.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that's so beautiful. And I worry sometimes with new artists that they get intimidated with that. Or I think that might be that. I'm not sure where that comes from. Either they might be self-conscious or hard on themselves or feel like they should be able to do it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I think that comes down to vulnerability too.
Yes.
Like,
and pressure.
And pressure.
There's a lot of fucking information out there right now, man. Like, the pressure of knowing a lot is like immense right now. Like, if you're in a kind of, I mean, call out culture for sure. Like, if you're in a kind of thing where you're like, oh, you fucking idiot, you should have already known. Huh. I'm like, dude, well, I mean, I have only but X amount of capacity. Yeah. And I really think that a lot of, I see a lot of undue pressure on themselves in this generation. Yeah. It's like, dude, like, come on, man. Like, you take it seriously, but, you know, give yourself a fucking break here, too. Right. Like,
and
you know.
Feel comfortable asking questions. Yes. Like, I've noticed a lot of people get into it, and they're nervous about asking those questions because they don't want to feel vulnerable.
Yes.
But I feel like that vulnerability is actually what connects artists with other artists, you know, and creates that community or that openness or shows that respect. You know what I mean?
Oh,
you
totally. Know? Totally. You gotta get clear. And I was always taught that, like, there are dumb questions, but there are no dumb questions.
Right,
like,
right. I said that to me.
Right. And, like, we had just said, we were struggling to find an artist's name earlier. We both knew who the fuck we were talking about. We both knew who we were talking about.
Exactly who we were talking about.
Exactly who we were talking about. We could not come up with his name to save our fucking life. And it was like, this is a key point of information that, like, how many fucking times do I have to reiterate this person's name to have it finite be able to call upon when I need it? I know everything. And we both were blanking at the same goddamn time. And it's
you do amazing with names. Like, Thank you. I give you all the props in the world. You have all this information that you share.
I'm trying to, because I've had a lot of blessings, man. Like, it's been cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm only a product of everything that I've encountered.
It's
a really cool thing. Like, I've had people reach out and be like, oh, thank you for the wisdom. I'm like, well, that's the thing about wisdom, man. It ain't mine. It's parroted. This is learned by someone else that experienced it probably first from me, probably harder, right. Probably. Oh, you know, man. Like, you know?
There's experiences that you have to learn that wisdom from.
Oh, man, yeah. And, you know, I've had a lot of wisdom, but I've been very blessed to be checked by people in very kind ways, I think, and I had a lot of good mentors. So, like,
that's awesome.
To share that with people and, like, be able to parrot people and experiences and try to, like, give a permission to, like, go after your fucking dreams, man. Like, do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Do it.
Like, do that final stroke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That final brush stroke. And it's funny. I don't know. Are you familiar with, like, the three rules of original tattooing, like old school tattooing?
Well,
go through it.
Yeah. So I've lived my life by this.
Okay,
are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
So, number one rule, and this is a hardcore, like, old school.
I'm curious because I probably do know them, probably don't know that's what they are.
Yeah, you probably know them. Yeah. And, like, synapse of this man that imparted this
I love this
amazing knowledge to me. Dude, he got shot in the stomach with a shotgun.
Holy
from
shit.
Someone breaking
Ringo already has his respect.
I know. Dude, I'm so serious.
Totally.
Nicest guy in the world. Whoa. Big, huge, buff, like, fully tattooed head to toe, but big teddy bear.
Love
Rico's respect. That's what I meant. Yeah, you love him. But he told me he was like three fundamental rules of tattooing. Don't fuck with my money or another artist's money. Like, number one.
Okay, I'm learning. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's moments where it's like, work with each other, respect each other as artists. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, like, independent contractors.
Okay.
Second part is, don't fuck with my family.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
No drama, anything like that. And that, don't fuck my wife. That's all you told me. And it was like, I totally understand that.
Like,
those are three simple rules I can remember. Yes. And it's just mutual respect for other people you work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But I think that's part of sometimes when you leave a place, like, that's one of my foundations. And that's why joking about someone's job security falls in number one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where yeah. Like, I get it. I understand that's where you are in your right. place in life. But, like, that...
That's not a place I can go.
Yeah. Like,
fundamentally.
Yeah, yeah.
And these are my core principles.
Right, right. And I told her, I was like, I really feel like you need to work something out. Yeah. You know what I mean? Talk to someone or get to know a different artist and right. just get to know them. And I think a lot of people do have a hard time with vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. They want to be angry or lash out.
Yeah, well, my boss had a Napoleon complex. Hardcore. Because he was about knee high on a grasshopper.
Oh, no. Dude, it's hard. Sometimes you're yeah. like, dude, it's okay. It's
yeah.
okay. Like,
and
little.
He used to be so
it's
aggressive.
It's like, well, no, it's fine.
You're so mad. It's so angry.
I know. I was like, chill out, dude.
It's like, it's okay.
Oh, man. I've had to have a lot of de-escalation type moments. You know, like, I feel like I'm a lot more hyper than a lot of people I've worked with. Mm-hmm. You know, like, mm-hmm. I've been the one that's stressed out. They're like, calm down, Nichols. It's fine. And I'm like, no, but really. And they're like, no, but really.
You need that there, right?
Simmer down. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. It's weird, right? Like, personalities and working with people and, you know, doing your art around them. I really would like to get to a point of collaborations and stuff like that. Like, I was feeling that, towards it, but like, that's something as a newer artist, like I remember, And I got it, like, when I felt like I might be pushing people a little too far. Oh. Because I was wanting to do a lot of collaborations. And, like,
oh, that's awesome.
But, yeah, but I'm a little older than most of them in my progress. So it was a natural progression for me. But, like, if I remember when I was young, it was hard for me to, like, yeah. think about doing my art with other people. Necessarily.
It's hard. It's yeah. intimate.
Especially like, when you're still learning, like, yeah. too. Or yeah. you're still trying to learn your own rhythm. So yeah. I was like, oh, okay, like, yeah. Like, yeah. I have to remember what that feels like, too. Like, when you're trying to, like, impart, like, a wisdom onto it, it's hard because you, like, you do have to make a peace with a lot of your own flaws, too. And just be like, fuck it, dude. I get that. You know, yeah. like, you know, like you said, don't fuck with this. Don't fuck with this. If I crossed this line in any way, I guess.
And you can talk about it.
Yeah.
Like sometimes people are super new to the industry, so they might not realize, like, those subtle nuances or how to approach it.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
I didn't know anything about this until I was in it. Like, so
yeah.
it was all like, I mean, we interviewed Jeff Bolt and he was like, I wouldn't recommend doing it the way I did it. It was a lot of
yeah,
crazy situations. Went. Like I just kind of fucking one thing to the next man rolled with it, you know, like he's, I don't know if that's how you should do it, but like, that's how I did it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned a lot. I've been a lot of places, you know.
Dude, it's cool too. You brought up at some point, like, hazing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So you've studied my I'm just like,
I'm such a Capricorn.
Bring it in. And that's why we get along so well. Dude, go for it. Because honestly, I would love this to be a two-parter. We can break it up. Like, you're just getting me on base. Like, I was like, I'm so happy to be hanging out with Ellie all goddamn day.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And I needed that. I really, really did.
I mean, we're going into your nighttime here.
I know. And I'm so grateful most people don't stay after dark because they're afraid of bears.
Give a fuck. Like, well, I have a bear. We've got a couple, like, weapons out in the car, man.
Yeah, you guys are prepared.
He's like, where's the tomahawk?
It's like, so funny. When I came out here, I got, like, a ladder and a chainsaw. And if you asked me, like, 7 years ago if I would ever, like, own a chainsaw.
You're like, no, what?
Like, oh, this is amazing.
I know, right?
I'm so afraid of dying.
I know, right? Well, it's a crazy machine, you know? Like, it's crazy.
I'm super into
it. But yes, hazing.
Oh, hazing.
Yes, so, tell me.
It's so funny. So, Artistic Armor, early 2000s.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? One of our things is that the owner, and that's the other thing, is that when I got into the industry, like, a lot of owners that I worked with were part of the LGB community, but they were old school with it, so they were very new faced with it. But
yeah,
they had to be open. Yeah, absolutely.
They've had their lives threatened to be what they are.
No, and it's so strong. Like,
yeah, very and strong.
So fierce. You know? And I admire that so much. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so incredible, and. Like part of our
we had a lot of downtime, right? It's in the bowels of Harford County, right?
You know what I mean? Yeah,
hardcore country. Just hanging out, tattooing each other, piercing each other, doing weird shit.
Doing weird shit.
If you didn't have one in the back, and part of the thing was stripping you on completely naked. I don't know if this is part of piercing.
A piercing culture.
Yeah.
Piercing culture is weird because, like, I've always said, like, you said,
to pierce your ears, take your pants off.
I know. And you talk about it and you're like, ha ha.
Like, really?
Are you serious?
No, really.
Like, it's okay.
It's all right. Well, and I've always said that. I was like, I feel like this is something that needs, like, we were talking about earlier, like, it should be in a dungeon or something. So, I mean, people have to confront a little bit of their sexuality with piercings.
Yeah, they do.
And I've had my hood pierced, and I've, like, you know.
Empowering, right?
Yes, like, it is. Yeah. Like, I love it. I mean, and feeling that, and, like, also getting my fucking world rocked by something that I don't know why the fuck I felt like it was not going to hurt. Like, it's your fucking erogenous. What the hell fuck were you thinking?
Holy
I was
shit.
Like, it's just a little bit of skin. Just a little bit of skin.
Dude.
Oh, and internal threads, people. Definitely, now that they're an option, do it. Because those fucking threads, that's what hurts. Not the needle. It's when they push that jewelry through. And Ellie's just shaking her head.
Dude, I was at Modern Man. And that was my specialty. And this girl came in, and she was a prostitute.
Uh-huh.
And at some point, she left her, like, used underwear in the bathroom. Oh, so funny. But before that, I was piercing. And, it's been a long time, and this is just what you do.
Yeah,
like, you're on top of it.
And yeah. You're on top. Yeah, you're like, fuck it, whatever. This is my day.
Right. And there's a super vulnerable, like, millisecond moment of the actual piercing. I've had so many ridiculous stories from piercing that tattooing is like,
this
so
is
much better.
No big deal.
I haven't gotten thrown up on.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, holy piercing, shit. Man. It's a whole bunch of things. I've almost passed out before, like, helping people with piercing. Like, it's a thing. Like, I assume it hurts more than it does. Like, I'm easier getting pierced. Like, I will not pass out getting pierced.
Yeah.
But if I'm assisting at the piercing, I may go down. Like, I gotta really, like, concentrate on something else. Like, I really am weird about it. Like, I have a dissociation, like, pain thing. I don't know. It's very strange.
It's weird, right?
It's easier for me to go through it and feel it than it is for me to watch somebody feel it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I think that's part of it when, like, I love both. It's kind of like drawing and sculpting.
Yeah.
Like, being, like, a multi...
I'm getting better at it. I think going hunting helps you be better at it.
And then
eating the food and, like, being a part of the process.
Yeah, you appreciate it.
Yeah. It makes it a lot less, I don't know, but, aggressive.
Oh, it's so bad. But so we're in the back room, and we got everything lined up. Like, it's going great.
Yeah.
And Sam's over back there, my two other artist friends. They, like, it was a moment. It was back and forth, and they were like, oh, but how's it going to go?
Right.
They sense something bad is going to happen.
Right.
And so there's a super vulnerable moment when you're actually piercing it, like, millisecond, not even. And so we had everything lined up. She was doing great. Hard lesson.
Hard lesson.
In this very moment. And I'm so focused on making this the most beautiful piercing I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yes.
You know?
Because you want it to be that.
Yeah.
It's her profession.
And so I'm lining it up. And, you know, old school piercing with the external threads. You had to line it up and butt it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you lose the connection. Yep. Something like that.
And you got to push it through as fast as you can.
And she let out this enormous shriek.
Oh,
and
my
just
God.
Boxed my entire face in her vagina.
Yes.
Oh,
and
my God.
Locked your head. Locked your head.
Stuck in her vagina.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Yeah.
I've heard about this before.
Yeah. And you're like,
oh, fuck. Oh, my God. You're like, God damn, no, fuck.
Yeah. And she's like, God, I got the
Soccer ball in your face.
Yeah, and I'm so open with vaginas.
Yes, I'm sure. Not. You'd have to be. Like, I did not want your vagina on my face.
It's all over my face.
And I got pink eye the next day.
Awful. And it's good on the little bum.
What happened after that?
She was so happy.
She was so, so happy.
She got her hood pierced. And I was in so much shock.
Mortified.
I'm like, what just happened to me?
And we go, and I'm like, thank you so much. Or she said, thank you.
Please leave.
She walked away. And like, Sam was just watching the whole thing. She heard the shriek. She heard me yell. And she's just watching my face.
Provided no assistance.
And like, and she's laughing hysterically. And I'm like, you want to talk about
it? No. No. Oh my God. You're like, I cannot believe.
Smelled like a seafood party.
Oh. Dude, I get APP and like,
yeah, like, yes.
Clog.
I'm telling you.
Ooh.
I know.
I still have.
I know. Nightmares, I'm sure. Well, okay. So my question is, after that, for people, because here's the thing, is I have people sign ridiculous things that, like, alleviate me of certain responsibilities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of it is real talk like that, because I got to talk to you and I got to be like, listen, man, I've had people's legs, like, for you, I've had people's legs clamp around my face and bury my face in their vagina in an involuntary moment.
Right, right. Or kick you in the face.
I need...
Holy
right,
shit.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I well, need you... Yeah. To understand that this has happened to me while I've done this. Like, can we try not to?
Yeah, please.
Ever again. That. Was that ever a part of like your protocol afterwards?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're like, okay, so this can't ever happen again.
Love you. Love you.
Like, but this there's the some
thing.
Lines.
Yeah, this is the thing. You know? At some point, I had to tell people if they're menstruating not to get their genitals pierced. You
know what I mean? Yeah. It's
obvious. Why would you have to tell somebody that? That's
just
common sense.
She's like, I know.
And I had that happen before, you know, and you're always super discreet and you're really polite and you still finish it, you know, and you make sure they're okay and that they're safe, you know, and afterwards, and this one girl, she didn't know, you know what I mean? It just came on. You know? So you always keep face and you're always really thoughtful and kind to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And piercing did help a lot with, I think, because it's such a quick emotional moment, like with how the tattoo process evolved along with it. Because it is so intimate and it's, you only have like 5 minutes to let this person trust you with piercing them, which is... Like, they're both so intimate.
Yes.
But, like, piercing is super vulnerable.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And there's a lot that could turn out to be violent.
Yeah.
Or really hurt someone.
Or, like, talk about safety. I mean, you just put your face in a professional crotch.
I know.
Involuntarily.
Oh.
And that was not, that was not what you had planned to do for the day. And I don't think that that's what she planned to do to you.
No.
But I'm like,
so happy after.
I know, but like, Jesus. I mean,
no tip.
You gotta, oh, shit. Oh, man.
There's no tips at that point. Like, tipping is still.
And of all times to be getting one,
wait, did
right?
They tip people at this point in time?
I guess
not. It was just more.
Did rare. They in Amsterdam and in other countries? I'm curious.
Yeah, they didn't as much, but like when they did, it was incredibly
generous.
Yeah. But it's actually because the gratuity is included in the
most brain. Things. Yeah, and that's what I've learned in most foreign countries is they, well, in the ones that I've been to, which is Italy. So they include it. They include it in. And when I studied French culture, they included it in.
Yeah, and they get paid a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's a well, lot it, yeah, especially if it's a service industry based on like waiting tables. It's more of like a job. You're paid, you know, actual wage.
And then it's being factored in.
Yeah, they do great with it. I fully embrace it. Like, I tipped one. So she was awesome. Yeah. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was so afraid to go out at night at first because just, like, in Glenburn, America, at night is dangerous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're like,
you get shot.
I mean, that's everywhere. Like, certain wolves come out. Like, certain creatures, like, they're creatures of the night, man. And if you're not a creature of the night and you don't know your surroundings, you're like, I don't know, man.
Right?
Yeah.
And especially as, like you were saying before, like a solo female traveler, like traveling alone to a foreign country.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Yeah. And I travel alone mostly. Yeah. Like, I think I've only made one or two trips just in the States with friends as, like, a friend. Vacation, but for the most part, I travel alone.
Right, that's dope. So you're very informative as far as, like, your information. So you're like, okay, I gotta feel this out.
You don't have your
posse isn't with you. No. You don't have anything.
And it's actually super humbling because, like, I don't, and you're super open. Like, I admire, like, you still really connect with people, like, and you are all inclusive with that, like.
Well, I probably haven't gotten my face jammed in some random pussy enough for being a little, you know, hesitant. So funny. You know, like...
So funny.
I mean, like, I haven't been hurt enough. I'm willing. I don't want to be hurt, but I'm willing to take that awkward moment with you.
there's another story where it was my first tongue piercing.
Uh-huh. Oh, shit.
Yeah, and I just didn't know. Like, starting out, I didn't have, so much a mentor. It was just a shop, like, learn as you go kind of
experience. Well, you had a natural interest, too.
Like, and, it, like, I have this obscene curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was talking to this old school professor that worked on the original MRI. He's one of my dad's friends.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He was on the invention team.
Whoa. Like,
brilliant.
That's amazing.
Brilliant human.
Whoa.
And we always grew up in, like, because my dad was a scientist, they both started in botany.
Mm-hmm.
So all their friend groups, and then he went into the military. But all the people that we grew up with were super eccentric, weird, brilliant artist types.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That were super passionate about what they would do. So you grow up with that.
That heat.
Yeah.
And it's you can do anything you want. It doesn't even have to be made yet.
Right?
We made it.
We made it. And the cool part is that, like, scientists never do it for the money.
No.
Right? They're
obsessed.
Passionate. Yeah.
They're obsessed. And this really weird fixation kind of quality.
And so I was talking to him about it. Mm-hmm. And he's also a professor. He trains his astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about it. He was like, the one thing you can never teach someone is curiosity.
Oh.
Like, they just have that. Like, they will be passionately curious.
Well, then that's what I fucking have.
Right? You really do. Like, I think that curiosity, like, you ask this question. And some people just don't ask questions. And you're like,
well, why wouldn't you do that?
What's going on?
That's such a good tip for life. Like, you just blew my mind just right there. Like, oh, that's what I've been struggling with. I've wondered why people aren't curious like me. And if you can't teach it and you just come with it, that makes sense.
Right? It's just a personality trait.
Wow.
But, like, super humbling where you're like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can play with ideas.
Yeah.
And, like, explore them.
But I've never, like, it's weird because people, like, identify it with some certain intellect, and I'm just as likely to walk in front of a bus and do something just completely dumb. Like, it does not, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not fucking, like, maybe I'm smart some way in, like, this weird kind of, but dude, I am wicked dumb in others. Like, please. Like, they're like, this curiosity thing, like, yeah, it's an obsession about, like, a heat and a passion, and you mm-hmm. don't do it for money, but, and you don't even do it for your own, like, benefit.
No.
Like, no. It's weird. It's a very weird thing.
It's cool, right, too? And there's a humbling factor. I think mm-hmm. that's also, like, humility is comes along with curiosity.
Yeah.
Where you realize you really, there's no way to know everything.
Yes.
But like, fuck if you're going to try to learn as much as you possibly can.
Absolutely. And approach it from, you know, as you get older, I feel like, you know, I try not to be condescending, you know, as much as I can, but it's true.
You do good.
As you get older, you do, like, I've had so many ahas and so many, like, I'm so sorry to people that I'm like, you know, I didn't know shit. Like, I got to be honest with you. Like, now I get what you said when you said it then. And now I get that because now I'm this old.
Yeah.
And so, like, I now get that now. So, like, in a lot of ways, like, the stuff, as you become older in any kind of, like, timeline, you then realize that, like, oh, shit, man, like, there's a certain amount of suffering that every human being has to put themselves through in what they need to experience to learn, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like, that's a thing, too. My submittance to bullshit is way higher than most people. They're like, no, I would never submit myself to that level of bullshit. And I'm like, okay. Like, but it's kind of fun. I'm not like unhappy with it. Like, you know what I mean? Like the I love that experience because I've heard that from other piercers. That is a very real response that I'm pretty sure every piercer could probably say, like, yeah. I've had genital piercings where a woman's legs has clamped around my face and I couldn't move. And we had to just walk peace away, face. Make peace with it, and moving on, man. Right. Like,
and it, they will never know that something horribly wrong just like incurred.
But it's cool because, you know, that, I mean, that's a moment, right? Like, you gotta move past it. You gotta, like, like, kind of wash it off and be like, all right, man, like, so I'm a piercer, and this is now something I know happens. Like, we're learning.
Right?
Like, when I give people my consultation forms, like, you know, it is a product of all of those things. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so this is going to take way longer than you want it to, but here, I've been tattooing X amount of time. So I would imagine with each moment like that, that's why I said, so afterwards was the protocol now. We are not to clamp our legs around my head. I'm not going to enjoy that. Okay, if we can look out not to do that, that would be great. Hold back.
I love when people do certain things and you're like holding someone's foot down or like, mm-hmm. you know, or stirrups, mm-hmm. like with the vagina thing.
Uh-huh.
And they ask, you're like, you've been stuck in someone's vagina before, haven't you?
Yeah.
And they're like, I have.
You know.
I know.
You know, it's like,
any of this? Yep. You've got this setup right here, bro. That's how I know. You have a setup that warrants that kind of experience.
Right? Dude, so it's funny. Like, part of that humor of it, like having that piercing background incorporated into the beginning stages of tattooing, mm-hmm. too, like, influenced a large part of this, like, weird rawness,
you
know what I mean? And, like, openness and mm-hmm. things like that. But, like, back at artistic environment, part of the hazing would be to strip down naked and walk across the doorway. There's another room.
Right? Oh.
Yeah, it was like Duck Hunt. If you remember, that's like my age.
Yeah, Duck Hunt. Yeah, I'm there.
And they would dip blow darts in tattoo ink and like try and fucking shoot you with a...
Oh my god!
Blow dart needle.
Whoa. Oh my god! Yeah,
I have like 20 marks.
Random dots?
Random dots.
How far would they go?
These fuckers would stick.
That's like probably hitting your bone almost.
Right.
Like that's not coming out. Ever.
It would be considered probably like physical abuse now. Like someone was get arrested.
Even then, hell yeah. Like if I had like a family member or something that was being a tattoo artist and I heard they were getting hazed that way, somebody would be getting beat the fuck up, dude.
Yeah, I know, dude. Like we're coming in, man. We got something to say. Oh my God, dude. That's hilarious. Wow.
So dangerous. It's ridiculous.
So dangerous. It's so dangerous.
Those blow darts, man, depending on, they could go in pretty far.
Yeah. You're like, random dots all over me. Yeah.
But like that was part of growing up with it, right?
Yeah.
You know, at that time. Yeah. And like, growing up, I grew up with a lot of physical abuse and sexual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
So like, they were also excessively violent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like getting choked out was a thing.
Yeah.
Or getting, you know, your hands threatened with a ball peen hammer.
Yeah.
Or,
your
knees taken out.
What?
Yeah.
This is like part of their, like, that culture.
That protocol, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very different than what it is today. So sometimes, you know, you have a moment where you're having a conversation with someone that's new in the industry and they start crying or getting really upset over a conversation. It's hard to be like,
what's happening?
Yeah, right now? What are you doing?
Yeah, like what's happening?
I would
I'd be murdered right now.
Like
I'd be murdered right now.
I would probably be passed out or be choked out or have my knuckles broken.
Yeah, like or at least be threatened with that right now in this moment.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Like, and I gotta be kind.
I know, but it's so confusing. And it's like I think that's what people struggle and they go through like severe physical abuse.
Yeah.
Is that you're like, I don't know how to handle this right now.
Yeah.
I love you and I understand you're having a moment.
Yeah.
But
I have random dots all over my body from the shit I've done.
Right?
And I've been crying.
Like, and it would be a simple conversation too where you're just being really direct and honest. Because they deserve the respect to know what they did maybe considered wrong.
Yeah.
Like etiquette or things like that. And you're like, please don't do this, and this is why you don't do
it.
Right. You know? And they would cry or get upset and be like,
you're just like, you have no darts in you right now.
But I feel bad about it.
Yes.
That's why I don't offer apprenticeships.
Right.
Because
that's one of the questions too. You're like, so I'm glad. You're like, no, I don't do that because X. Because it's hard. Because it is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when you realize your threshold is X, it's very hard to connect with a future generation that you know that you're kind of antiquated to meet them on their level with. But that's not really the point. It's really just that, like, I'm just trying to give you an in some way.
Yeah.
And we're working together. And this is not always meant to be. Like, as far as I'm concerned, we might not be friends at the end of this, but we're all going to be better for it. You know, like, that's fine.
And, dude, you're gifting them, like, a life-changing opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, this is a profession.
Yeah.
Like, this is huge. This is going to be the way that you get to make money. And guess what? I'm really, really dedicated beyond even rationale of your ability to do that in a way that I feel is good for you to do it.
Yeah, that's huge.
Which, you know, like, I think it's really hard to teach another artist because, like, all of our processes is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for you to know that about yourself. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think for you to know that about yourself and to be like, look, you don't want to take the ride with me because I'm going to make you cry. I'm going to make you cry.
Yeah. And then there's a moment where if you grow up tattooing with that, you know, but it made me stronger.
Yeah.
And it made it so it's
well, and you also know you don't want somebody else to have to go through that level.
No,
what, what now you know is abusive in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And you kind of wouldn't want another person to go through that. But at the same time, the person that you are today, if I am to teach that to anyone else, I need somebody to know that, like, I can only give you what I got.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know,
you have to kind of be your own mentor in a lot of ways. You have mm-hmm. to know your own thresholds. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to keep pursuing it. And, you know, I'm learning from a lot of people. Like, it's not always just with one. Like, this is a continuum, right? Like, the apprenticeship diaries, I'm now a baby in a new way, you know, experiencing something. I've never been fired before. Like, that was interesting.
It's hard,
but at the same time, it was a lot less hard than it was trumped up in my mind, you know, for it to be something that you've never had happen. And then when it happens, you're like, oh, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. But, like, it's fine. I don't, it's fine. Like, I'm fine. Like, why did I think that this was, I don't know, any kind of real badge of honor to be real. Cause it's not that big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it happens. And I feel like it's one or the other, cause it's never great to say I'm leaving either.
No.
You know,
they're both equally as difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it is. Like, tattooing, man, the longer you're in it, the less you do feel like you know. Because mm-hmm. it does evolve. And there's so much art. There's so much innovation. There's so much that the human being, given tools of any kind of caliber, can come up with. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to teach someone? I'm curious.
Yeah, I did. Like, when people come up, like, that's what it, a lot. I did have a mentor, actually. Uh-huh. And it wasn't until I was, like, 5 years into tattooing. And I met my first, like, illustration artist.
Right.
And that was Big Al.
Oh.
Yeah, in very North cool. Carolina.
Uh-huh.
Amazing teacher. And he was the first person I ever met that had the artist background.
Uh-huh.
And could explain things in drawing terms.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and I learned so much better that way.
Oh, wow.
And he taught me so much. It was like, when you're doing a tattoo, he did most of my work.
Uh-huh.
And he would always teach me with every tattoo that he did.
Right.
And he was like, no, you kiss the skin. It's like painting.
Yeah.
You know? And I would try it in a painting first.
Right.
And then I would apply it to tattooing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, yeah. So I had, I did teach people how to pierce.
Very cool.
I wanted to create a safe place.
Yeah.
Especially for people that went through sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really good way to, like, regain your sexuality and
claim. I can believe that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. It's super empowering.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all of a sudden it's yours. Like, it's not anybody else's. No one can take that away from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would teach other piercers, but the problem is, like, I learned by piercing myself
mm-hmm.
multiple times. Like, right. I would pierce my nose.
Yeah.
20 times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could do it, and it was a beautifully executed piercing.
Right.
And you do it in the mirror, and it's all in reverse.
Right.
And then once you are able to successfully pierce your nose, you'd be able to pierce someone professionally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, if you can inflict that and learn how to heal it.
Good for you.
Go through everything like that, then you can pierce other people. Like,
you
are allowed to be trusted with another human being.
I think that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. And you have to learn that stuff. You have to feel the pain. You have to feel the process. And a big part of it is learning how to heal.
Well, and that was honestly a lot of the reasons why I got the piercings that I had
mm-hmm.
was because I was, my first time tattooing was with a piercer as well. And he was teaching me baseline piercing. So I knew a few. Mm. Yeah. I knew a few of how to pierce and, you know, just basic ones. But I was learning from him and I observed a few and fascinated by it. But like, it was like, it definitely had correlations to things that I had read in the BDSM community and like that kind of psychology to it.
Absolutely.
And like needing to feel that pain and the ritual mm-hmm. of it and the mm-hmm. identification of it. And like, and I got pierced so that I could feel it.
Yeah.
You know, because I couldn't, I was like, I want to know how to heal this and how this feels if I'm going to do this to people. And he was very encouraging of that as well. He was like, you should definitely get these things done if you're going to do them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I was like, oh, that makes sense. You mm-hmm. know, like,
it made sense in a lot of the paths that I was in. I mean, I didn't smoke pot for the first time until I was 22. And it was because a boyfriend of mine was like, how can you have so many opinions about something that you've never done?
Oh, that's true. That's
and I was like, I guess so. And he's like, you don't even know what you're talking about. he's like, first of all, pot's not anything that you need to worry about. And I was like, are you sure? And he's like, just try it. Like, will you just do it? Like, what does it matter? Like, what is it? Just fucking feel it and have an experience. But then you can have an opinion. And I was like, oh, I mean, I guess that makes sense. Coincidentally, I ended up getting a call from a government fucking job, like right after this. This was to take care of. I swear to God. I had never.
That's awesome.
This is taking care of horses for the police.
That's awesome.
Right. But you needed to take a lie detector test to do this fucking job. To muck stalls for horses of police horses. I mean, I get it. They're cops, too. I get it. But, like...
No!
I was literally doing stuff that I had been trained to do, like, most of my life. I mean, I was a horseback rider from 8 to 16, and this was me at, like, 18 going to school, and I wanted to, like, muck stalls for the police force. And, like, I like, submitted it, like, when I was, like, 20, and then I didn't get a call back until I was, like, 21, 22. Like, no, I was 21, and then at 21 and 22. And so this is when I made the determination, because I was, like, I was separated from horses, and I, like, was in the city. I was, like, I really miss horses. I just want to be around them. I just want to smell them. And so I submitted a resume, and I didn't hear back from them for a full fucking year. They call me back for this interview, and I got to do a lie detector test. And part of the lie detector test is, have you ever smoked an illegal drug? No. And smoked marijuana. I was like, yes.
No, you say no.
I said yes, because I was like, it's a lie. I cannot lie.
That's bullshit.
Honey,
it's all mental.
I can't. I know. And I mentally can't commit. Okay.
You can't.
Like, he can lie. I can't lie. Like, I don't. I had such a practice of not lying.
No, because you dead eye that shit.
I don't dead eye shit. No. I don't lie. Like, they're just
like monotone.
I omit. I nuance. I sugarcoat things. I don't lie. Like, I will tell it to you. I'll tell it in a kind way. I'll admit it if I feel like it's not relevant.
And
but like,
pause.
But yes.
Pause. And you're like, do you want to know the truth?
Yes.
Do you want to know the truth?
Are you prepared?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
How do you want to hear it? How sugary do you want it to be?
Yeah. Because I just can't not. Tell you what I know you want to hear.
Yeah, I don't do the lying thing. Like, yeah. Not well. Like, and that's a lot of my problem, man. Like, it's a lot of my fucking problem. Like, life would be so much easier for me if I just felt like it was worth it to lie. But it didn't seem to be worth it to me.
Yeah, and I think that, like, one of the things in, like, that I learned from going to Amsterdam and their culture is that they're super blunt.
Yeah.
Like,
I dig it.
Yeah, I do too. Like, it was actually really, like, refreshing.
Yeah.
You know, because they're so open and honest, and you can trust verbatim what they're going to say is exactly what they feel.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, someone compared America as, like, a Dunkin' Donuts. Frappuccino or Starbucks, where it's mostly sugar, milk, and like
no nutritional content.
None at all. Maybe like,
barely any coffee.
Like
either.
This amount of coffee and then topped with whipped cream. And the coffee's the truth.
Yeah,
like I'm making all the sugar. I'm just gonna beat around the bush so much.
It's gonna take so long.
Yeah, I mean, they might not even understand what you're trying to say.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But like, hey, man, at least it tasted really good.
Oh, so good.
I was having a good time.
So good. And like Amsterdam, their coffee is a ritual.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah, it's super delicious.
Yeah,
a lot of places in Europe I've heard stellar
so
coffee.
They take time. Yep. They're really passionate.
Turkish,
about it.
All of it. Yeah. All of those things. Yeah.
I dream about it.
Uh huh.
With like a little bit of milk.
Mm hmm.
You know? Still
with milk. Yeah.
Truthful, very honest, very always polite and kind with it.
Yep.
Norway. Their coffee is black as fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like
so direct.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. But like, when I first went there, and they were that direct, I'm like, oh my god, that was a lot of truth right there. You just told me.
Yeah, okay.
How you felt.
Okay, that's great. That's cool. This is refreshing. I never had that. And you're like, wow, this is neat. Like people, you know, exist like that. That is a benefit of it. And you know, like I do. I hope the more interviews we have here, the more we like have a collection of like people like who can share like.
Thanks for listening. You can find the Apprenticeship Diaries on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our IG is the_apprenticeship_diaries. If you would like to offer constructive criticism or an interview, drop us an email at theapprenticeshipdiaries@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from our listeners.